We're not always comfortable being around people who are in grief, but we also recognize that all of us will feel grief at some point in our lives. The Rogue Valley nonprofit Winter Spring takes advantage of the shared experience by gathering people who are grieving to support each other. Winter Spring has been offering support services for grieving people for years now and is in the process of a bit of a shakeup. Let's talk about new approaches and new headquarters with a couple of Winter Spring staffers. Christine Hunter Robertson is volunteer and community educator at Winter Spring and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Christine, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much. Good morning.
So give people the sketch first of what you have been doing over the years at Winter Spring and how long you've been doing it.
Well, 30 years just over actually is how long Winter Spring has been supporting the bereaved in the community, ranging from children's programs, youth programs in the schools, groups for the adults, and all kinds of groups within that framework. So grief affects everyone at all different times and through all different losses. So bereaved parent groups, mother loss, siblings, everything. So yeah.
And it really is a peer-to-peer effort then, right? I mean, it's people who are experiencing grief helping other people experiencing grief.
Very much. I mean, all of our programs have volunteer facilitators who have been trained. And that then gives the group a central focus if necessary. But what is so wonderful about that is all the volunteers have been through it. Everyone gets it within that group setting. And it's a very sacred space to share story. It's, you know, it's something our ancestors have been doing for thousands of years. When we get to share our story and really offload that and have it witnessed and validated, it's what we need. And in our culture, grief is such a scary thing. And it just reminds us all of our own mortality and losses, potential losses that we might have, and ones that we've hidden well away and that we've put well down. So,
well, yeah. That's interesting. So do people sometimes come because they've had a delayed effect? They're feeling grief now that they didn't get a chance to feel soon after the loss of someone?
Very much so. And also what we find is often a very traumatic or tragic loss will then initiate that kind of tidal wave of other losses to emerge. And it takes people by surprise because it can be literally like a tsunami where, you know, it's so overwhelming. And people really don't know what to do, and they think they're going crazy with all of the emotions that come in, the confusion, the disorientation sometimes for people. And it's a tangible experience. You know, you feel it in the heart. People have, you know, commented, and it's actually scientifically proven that you will feel it in, you know, that pain in your heart space.
That must be then a huge relief to get to a room full of people and realize they feel similar to the way you feel.
Very much so. And that's the beauty of it is that everybody gets it in that space. You don't have to explain. You're able to be present, which is really where the healing happens, is being truly in that moment with others to then who will all bear witness to what you're going through. And then you can start moving and processing. The grief is the internal experience, and we all have that. But the actual moving it to an external is mourning. Now, active mourning in our culture is not something that we're all very good at. There are still some wonderful components, you know, that we find in Indigenous culture. We also find it in religions. But to go to that space where it is actively, we're mourning actively, you know, it takes some getting used to process feelings. It's not easy.
Is there a count for how many people Winter Spring has helped over the years?
Oh, goodness. Thousands. Absolutely. We get calls every single day. You know, we might just, you know, on our off days, it might just be five or six, up to, you know, 12, 15. So there's always someone who is grieving. And although not everyone needs a group, we also offer companioning. And what that is a one-on-one support from a volunteer who has gone through that and who has the same experience or a similar experience of loss. We, as I mentioned to you, we have moved, and we will be down the line offering a drop-in approach, so that people will be able to come into the centre And we'll have also have a new group room, which we're really excited about, but to offer this support in a more tangible way so that people can just call in and have that support with a one-on-one person who is very understanding and compassionate and is literally a companion.
Christine Hunter Robertson is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the volunteer and community educator at Winter Spring, which helps people deal with grief and has been doing so in the Rogue Valley for a couple of decades now. You can join the conversation on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So you mentioned the new headquarters, which is part of a sort of a renewal of mission, it seems like. What prompts the rejiggering of Winter Spring?
Well, we've been going through a few changes, a few transitions of staff. And so it was a wonderful opportunity. And the board have really stepped up, and this collaborative effort between staff and the board members, it's growing, it's changing, and there's a focus on rebuilding the structure and foundation. So we really have this team effort. And that's so perfect, because the whole premise of what we do is companioning people, is supporting people, and it's from the heart. And so you have to work from the heart. And so this is where Winter Spring is really opening up now to come not just from the mind, but to really, you know, pull that together, working as a team, evolving, meeting the community's needs, because the community now is so, so different from 30 years ago. For one thing, we have so much more traumatic loss. We have more suicide. We have more teens in need of support. So youth programs are growing all the time. And that's a huge piece that is done in our community. Our current youth program coordinator, she is out every day in the schools. And this is where we need, you know, more volunteers to support our programs and our growing needs.
Since it is not led by professional counselors per se, it is a companion type guidance here. How much training do volunteers get before they get into a lead role in a group?
The current structured volunteer training is volunteer companioning. It's really it's quite extensive. We're now doing we do a 4-hour very basic for those who would like to know about Winter Spring, know more about grief, and also maybe help us with admin and those kinds of things. But then there is another 12-hour component, plus a couple of extra in-service pieces, and we continue that support and that service to our volunteers. We have restore and renew workshops. We have planning also on having an annual retreat for all of our volunteer companions, because they're the ones at the heart of it and having that support. But just to say that, you know, most of the staff are trained and have a master's or a bachelor's in the field, but we offer, as I say, support, companioning, not counseling.
Now, you yourself, Christine Hunter Robertson, had been at Winter Spring in the past, and they've come back. Is that right?
That's absolutely right, yes. Mm-hmm. One of the things about Winter Spring, it really does tug at your heartstrings. And I had taken a step back for some years, but got really fired up when I saw what the Winter Spring was doing, when I got to talk with the board president, Janine Twining, and Jim Titus. It was really innovative and like I say, very exciting. And so they invited me to join and to bring in a lot of my expertise particularly with the education and the training components, and to really, you know, amp up our whole approach to volunteering. And this is why we're using the term companioning now, because it really then emphasizes that approach of compassion and kindness, nurturing. It's like, you know, breaking bread with a friend. You know, you want that when you're going through grief. You want somebody who can listen and who can share that with you and offer that sacred space.
Now, I notice one of the emphases you're moving into with Winter Spring now is to to not necessarily have things scheduled in terms of this group begins this date, that sort of thing, that you're really offering more opportunities, it seems, or planning to anyway, to allow people to just drop in as they feel the need.
Yeah, we obviously still would like notice, and it really helps for us to then ensure that everyone's needs are met. But we do have ongoing general bereavement groups now. We have currently one structured that's ongoing on a Thursday, and you can receive information, further information about that. We also are planning on a traumatic loss ongoing group. There's some specialty groups like bereaved parent. We found that they need that tight focus, but we will be expanding, doing more workshops and half days to really encompass the needs. You know, many people can't come to a group on an evening, and seniors don't necessarily want to drive in the evening, especially in the winter. So we're looking at all of those differing needs and really trying to accommodate that, I could say, in a wider framework, and especially with our ongoing groups now.
Christine Hunter-Robertson, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, volunteer and community educator for Winter Spring, which has spent 30 years now helping people in the Rogue Valley deal with grief. You can join the conversation on the Exchange, maybe share a story about your experiences with Winter Spring. We'd like to hear from you at 800-838-3760 by phone. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. I wanted to ask about the youth groups. You mentioned that that your youth program coordinator, Amanda Constable, who couldn't be with us today, is often out in the schools. How young have some Winter Spring clients been over the years? People obviously can lose people at any age.
Well, actually, we work from 6 till 12 is in the children's program. And that program, they meet every other week, and there's two groups currently running. And we actually have a waiting list. That is another area we hope to extend, because, you know, such a huge need. So those groups, they are met in a different way. You know, children learn through play. They experience things in the moment. And so that takes a different focus. Now, youth programs, teens, middle schoolers, high schoolers, they have differing needs. And so they're usually met in the schools. And our big focus there is to, like I said, our program, youth program coordinator, Amanda Constable, she's out there every single day, sometimes 2-3 groups a day in the schools. And at the moment we are, you know, we're pretty jam-packed, but wanting to extend that, wanting to do as much as we possibly can. And so the whole premise right now is really looking to evolve and extend and embrace as much as we possibly can do with the help of the community, with volunteer companions. In actual fact, we will be at the Senior Volunteer Fair tomorrow. If we have any budding volunteers who want to come along from our senior community, that's at the Ashland Senior Centre, and 2 till 4. We'd love to meet and connect with you. And not just seniors, obviously, but please, anyone who feels that they'd like to offer companioning to somebody who's grieving and would like that experience to be of service, we welcome you.
So it's a Senior Volunteer Fair tomorrow, the 22nd, at Ashland Senior Center from 2 to 4. Okay. I wanted to ask, just in general terms, because we've had several discussions about the grieving process, it seems like it's simply as different for each person as the people themselves. But knowing that, then, I mean, what are some of the basics, the things that you offer that any person can make use of?
The most basic thing is to listen to another who is in grief. We don't often give that. We don't often sit and be truly present with another. And it's very hard to do that when somebody else is in pain. But to really listen to that person, to know that, you know, their time frame is going to be their own. One of the hardest things is to see a loved one who's in pain through grief. So within a few months, other family members want them to get back to normal. There's no normal. That's gone. Mm-hmm. There's only a new coming to a new place through transitioning with this active mourning process. So it's really important that the person who is grieving gives themselves permission and has permission to grieve in their own way, in their own unique way of sharing and speaking about it and allowing that and honoring their loved one. There's nothing morbid in for example, in having a candle lit and having a photograph and you know, sharing those things within a family setting.
It seems like there's a fair amount of desire on the part of somebody who otherwise should be listening, perhaps, to offer words of comfort, to say something back, and that's apparently not necessarily the best thing.
Well, offering comfort and kindness is always appropriate. However, it's if we're doing it because we just don't want to hear anymore. And that's often the agenda. Unconscious, but it is often the agenda. But yeah, if we can, you know, take a moment and just acknowledge and that you don't have to say anything. Sometimes to be completely honest and say, I cannot possibly know what you're going through. And I'm so sorry that this is what you're having to endure, or this is what you're having to go through. We'll often say, you know, if there's anything I can do, give me a call. Well, the person who's in deep grief, they're not going to remember that. They're not going to feel like calling. So we have to make that effort, you know, being the person on the outside, the companion, the friend. We have to make that step forward in kindness and compassion.
The volunteers for Winter Spring who do the facilitating work and that sort of thing, do they have to step back from time to time? Does it get, I mean, I imagine this could get fairly sad for the people who are seeing so many other people feeling sad.
Very much. And so that's why we have the Renew and Restore workshops that we're doing, you know, for the companions. I myself stepped back for a few years. You know, it's very easy to reach burnout, as in any helping profession. But that's one of the big components that we're really pushing now with our training and with our ongoing support, is to ensure that they receive that support from our services.
So for the people who are listening and thinking, well, this sounds like something I want to get into, A, how do they contact you? B, what can they expect in the way of financial obligations?
If they call us on 541-552-0620, then we can give them all of the details about the training requirements, because it's very, you know, it's very individual in terms of what they would like to share and what they'd like to do for us.
And it is also at winterspring.org.
Absolutely, yes. Online. So they can reach us too on email. I'm at outreach@winterspring.org.
And does it cost? Do people have to pay for the services they get from Winter Spring?
The cost for the services, there is a cost, but it's not an expectation. So people who are in financial straits and who are struggling, we ask, they just give what they can. Usually it's around $10, but we never turn anyone away. Absolutely not. And we offer scholarships for training. We offer, you know, different things that can support individuals. But no, it's usually by donation, but we suggest $10 as an exchange, and so we can keep going, so we can keep doing what we do best.
All kinds of services being offered by the Winter Spring Center in Medford. I almost called you by your old name. It's just plain Winter Spring. Winterspring.org, 541-552-0620, has moved to new headquarters in Medford. You can find out more about it by calling that phone number or going online. Christine Hunter Robertson is the volunteer and community educator. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you for asking us. Thank you.